We're going to continue talking about the Holy Spirit today. And today we're just going to, the focus is going to be on the Holy Spirit enables me. And it's a fun one. And I love these. I don't know if you can see out there. This is a back scratcher. I love back. I have 4 or 5 back scratchers hidden at different places. I have one at my other job at my desk, where in the middle of the day, I'm just like, hey, I got a back scratch, got to do that. I have a couple of these sitting around at convenient locations that it's just like, I got a back scratch, I got to do this. I have one in my bedroom. I have one above the refrigerator. I have one by my desk in our family room. It's like, whenever my back is scratched, it's like awesome, because it's like, you're just like, oh, this is great right now. Excuse me while I just, don't mind me. These are great. You know why? It's because I can relieve the itch without relying on someone else. Because you know what it's like when you have that itch on your back and you're just like, you can't reach it and you're doing all this contortion and you're just like, man, I wish my arm was like 3 inches longer because you just can't reach that one spot that's itching. And then you ask somebody to come help you. And you know how it is when they come help you, because you're like, can you help me? It's like you're dying. You know how it feels like you're under some kind of medieval torture machine when your back itches because you just can't reach it. You know how you're doing that? You're like up against the wall. You're scratching it. You're like any corner you can find, you just can't get it. You're like stretching. And then you feel your body popping and doing all this weird stuff. And then you're like, can you please come itch my back? And you get somebody. And you know, because they're real committed to helping you. So it's like, fine, I'll scratch your back. Is that good? You're like, no. And then like the whole time they're like doing that, you're like shifting around like, no, it's right over there. And you're like, push harder, do that. And you're like, fine. And they're like digging their hand in at one spot. And you're like, you're not helping me. My back itches. This is, and you're like, come on. And you're like, and then you're just like, and now it itches more because I can't even hit the spot. Now I'm like, poor Benny, because he's just like, now I was like, it's going to be reasonable. Sarah, scratch my back right there. But it's like we just need that because it's like, this is awesome. Because we're like, ah, that spot is so great. Benny, you need to borrow this because I probably messed up your back now. But I can relieve the itch without relying on someone else because no one ever seems to satisfy the itch just right. However, that makes me self-reliant. But when it comes to how God wants us to live as Christians, we're not allowed to be self-reliant. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need others to help us. I mean, Jesus himself was just like, I don't want you to be self-reliant. I'm going to send an advocate. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you, to help you. Because the Holy Spirit is for me. The Holy Spirit is always at work to accomplish the will of God. The Holy Spirit is with me, and the Holy Spirit is in me to help me. I don't have to be self-reliant. I'm not on my own. In fact, the Holy Spirit keeps me from being able to be self-reliant by using, really by requiring all of us to work together. The Holy Spirit wants to be integrated into the whole of my life, in me, and on me, with me. God enables me so that I'm effective in reaching and helping others. Like we talked about last week, he empowers conversations to help me effectively share Jesus. And that really gets to the emphasis of the power of the Holy Spirit when it talks about in Acts 1:8, and you will receive power and you will be my witnesses, where the Holy Spirit comes on me and uses me to proclaim God to people in powerful and real and significant ways. But then the Holy Spirit also helps develop character or fruit of Christ in me. So here you have the power of the Holy Spirit there, but then you also have the work of the Holy Spirit in me, developing, helping me become more like Christ. And then the focus of today, the Holy Spirit enables me to effectively minister to people. See, you have this, the Holy Spirit's at work doing a lot of things. Now, a lot of times as Pentecostals, we put a lot of the emphasis on the empower part. God's going to empower me to be a missionary. God's going to empower me to be a witness. God's going to empower me to do that. And then when we think of power, we think of all the signs and wonders that come with that. And we think about initial physical evidence. We think of what's the proof of that, the speaking in an unlearned, unknown language. And that's where a lot of times we put the attention. But the Holy Spirit is working in all through our lives in all different ways. And so the Holy Spirit's there to empower me, to develop me, to enable me. But so the Holy Spirit enables me, and we're just going to kind of focus on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but starting at verse 4, it says this: there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. Now, gifts in the original language, the word used was not gifts like we see it. It was charisma. It's something received without any merit on my own. That's how we get a gift. Because usually on a gift, it's nothing we do on our own. Now, sometimes the gifts we receive are because we made it one more year from the year we were born. So we survived for a year. So therefore, we receive a gift because we didn't die that whole year. Or in the case of when we're children growing up, our parents didn't kill us that year. We made it a whole year. That's a joke. You can laugh. My kids are in no danger. It's a gift is something received without any merit on my own. Jesus is the sender of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the source and distributor of the gifts. Now, I like to use a different word than gift. I think a better word to use than gift is enablement. That's why I say the Holy Spirit is our enabler. So I think a better word to you is enablement. Because with a gift, sometimes it's easy for us to be selfish with a gift. I can pick and choose who gets to use it because it's mine. It's my gift. It's for me. They gave it to me. So therefore, I control if you get to touch it or not. And that's how the kids are. It's like, no, that's mine. You can't touch it. When my son was three or four, we bought him a battery-operated four-wheeler, which it's now gone through all of our kids. In fact, the wheels are almost wore to nothing now after three kids riding it. But when he first got that, we're at a birthday party where there's all of his friends. And then he's just like, nobody touch it, because it's my gift. But that's the way we are when a gift can be personalized too much. We can personalize a gift to mean something special to me in a very possessive way sometimes. But an enablement takes away that. We can't say that about an enablement, because an enablement is an ability given to me by God. He enables me to do something. So I do what he has enabled me to do for his glory. It is for the benefit of others, not my own fulfillment. Do you see the difference how we can do that? So that's why I like to use that word. The Holy Spirit enables me to do something. So now I can use this ability as he gives me the ability to do it. I can use it to help others instead of being like, that's all fine. You can't have it. The Holy Spirit is the one that assigns the enablements. I remember one time when I was in Texas, I went to a young adult's meeting of college pastors, and we were looking at creating a college ministry to go to the University of Texas El Paso campus. So I went up to Lubbock, Texas, and I was meeting with a whole bunch of college pastors and some college students that were at this event. The director of it brought in a speaker. He was a great communicator, and there he is, and he's just praying for everybody, and he had this significant gift that he thought everybody else should have that he had. So he's walking around praying for people, and he's like, hey, do you want this gift? And I can't even remember what it was right now, but it was something where it was like, he was like walking around to people, and he's like, put your hands out if you want this gift. And he's praying for them. And I was just like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I don't think it works that way. Because I'm like, the Holy Spirit's the one that gives the gifts. Now, we can pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit. But as far as the assignment of different gifts, I'm like, I don't think it works that way. And so even at some point, and he just walks around to me and he just sees me standing there because I'm like, everybody else is responding like, oh yeah, I want that. And I'm like, I want all that God has for me. And so he walks up to me finally. He's like, hey, do you want this? And I'm like, at that point, I'm like, well, sure, but. So he's like, put your hands out. And I'm like, okay. And then whatever the gift was, he's praying. And at no point did I feel like the Holy Spirit was, you know, doing that or giving that to me or anything else. Because I'm sitting there thinking, it's not, it doesn't work that way. It's the Holy Spirit that enables me. Now, I can pursue all that God has for me, and I should. But it's not really somebody just to walk around and say, hey, you should have that gift. Hey, you should have that gift. Hey, you should have that gift. Or do you want that? And so I can remember that kind of struggling with that. But it's important to realize it's the Holy Spirit that enables us. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. And it's really cool. Why? Now, the enablements are provided and distributed by the Holy Spirit. I can and should seek the enablements. But it is the Holy Spirit that gives them to me or assigns me that ability. And now, enablements are distributed to different people because we're all in this together and we need each other. And there was a point I remember a few years ago where at the church where I was on staff at, there was a lot of times in the first service where we had messages in tongues and interpretation. And it was some very point-on messages of encouragement to the people in the church. It wasn't anything where you're just like questioning it, very point on. But it was always the same person that was often used as for the interpretation side of it. And I remember praying one time, I'm like, God, you know, it gets kind of awkward when I walk up to the platform and I'm praying with the people and we're doing that after worship and you're having this message in tongue and interpretation and you don't give me the interpretation, you use somebody else, and I'm getting really frustrated with it. And then I remember praying one day, I'm like, God, I want to be able to do that. And the Holy Spirit says, no. And I'm like, well, why not? Because the Holy Spirit's like, if I do that for you, you will not allow anybody else to be used. And I thought, you know what, you're right. Because then the control freak side of me would just be like, hey, I'm in control of this. I can navigate this. I can do all that. I don't have to rely on anybody else. But the Holy Spirit's like, no, I want to use different people to work and to move. So I'm not going to entrust you with that enablement because I want other people to be able to be stepped up and used. And that's the way the Holy Spirit works. He wants to use all of us in different ways. Now, enablements are for the common good of the local community of believers. All enablements are different, but all are useful. Being enabled in one area does not make me more or less important than someone enabled in another area. It's the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit gave it, then we need it. And that's what I love on the economy of our Creator, because He wants to use all of us. He wants to. And it's really more a matter of, am I available to allow God to work through me or not? That's really what it comes down to, because the Holy Spirit's like, I want to use all of us. I don't want to just use one individual. It's for all of us. It's that whole thing with Joel's prophecy. I will pour my Spirit out on all flesh. Because before, as you look at the whole way the Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament, it was for select individuals. God changes things with the new covenant that we see in the New Testament. God wants to use all of us and working together to accomplish His plans and His purposes. The Holy Spirit is the enabler and the equalizer. He enables me to do supernatural abilities, but He also chooses who gets to do different things. He equalizes things. It doesn't center all the ability on one individual. We have one hero, one person we look at in the context here of a church and be like, well, Pastor Mark can take care of all of it. No, the Holy Spirit's like, I'm going to use all of you. And that is, I just love the way that works. Spiritual enablements, as I said, are for the common good. The gifts primarily work to build up, to edify, to exhort, and to comfort the believers. They're to help us. To build us up, to help people get closer to God. So for helping people get closer to God, it's important that we just don't be weird. Don't be weird, distracting, or harmful. And this is where it gets sometimes with, and it comes to being used in the power of the Holy Spirit, used in the enablements that God gets us. It's that because we've seen a lot of weirdness, because we've seen things that are just a little bit off and not handled appropriately, we tend to pick and choose how we think the Holy Spirit should operate. We put limits on how we think or feel God should work. We're just like, whoa, I had a weird experience once, so therefore I'm going to limit anything that God does now. And that's not what we want to do. The supernatural already is unexplainable. That's why it's called supernatural, because it's not natural. It's outside of natural. So that's already unexplainable, already weird, already peculiar, already unsettling to people. So we don't need to add to the awkwardness by ourselves being weird. But don't be afraid to try. Using your gifts, using your enablements, but operate in love as you're doing it. Because if we don't try, nothing's going to happen. If we don't step out and do something, we can be guaranteed nothing's happening. Because it could be, as we look at some of the ways that God enables us, it could be God has enabled you with an unusually great faith and an unusually great ability to pray with people and see God do the supernatural and see them be healed. And so that can be really awkward when you walk up to somebody like, hey, can I pray with you? And a moment that sticks in my mind has now for decades. I remember when I was in my early 20s, I was walking out of a movie theater, having watched a movie, obviously, and I'm walking out of the movie theater and I'm watching somebody come in that had a messed up leg, and this lady's just like limping, going into the theater, and my heart just broke for her at that moment. It was like, not just I feel bad for them. It was just like that just Holy Spirit whisper of, I want to do something for her. And I'm walking and I'm watching her and limping in. And I wish it was one of those moments I would have just been like, okay, I'm just going to navigate this and see what God will do. And I would have just walked up to the person and be like, hey, I know this is really weird. My name is Mark. Can I just pray with you a minute? Because I just really believe that God just wants you to show you how much he loves you and prayed with that individual and done that. And then maybe something awesome would have happened. Maybe not. I don't know. The problem was I sat there and just like, oh, what do I do? What happens if I walk up to her and I'm just like, can I pray with you and nothing happens? And then how embarrassing is that? And I just saw this movie and who knows? And I'm just like, forget. And so then I just walked to my car and got in my car and drove off. And the whole time it wasn't just this, okay, life goes on. It was a Holy Spirit, you missed it a moment. So we have to try. And in that trying, it can be awkward because we don't always know how God's going to work or move in the situation. But if we don't try, we're guaranteed nothing's going to happen. So it's important that we try. Now, because of the intimacy associated with the working of the Holy Spirit, we're prone to emotion, right? We are. You saw that in me earlier. The Lord whispered to me this morning as I was praying, just this sense of that verse that came to mind as I'm driving here to church. It was just like that verse just kept coming over in my mind. And then as worship started, I just really sensed a heaviness of discouragement in the house. And so the Lord's speaking to me about that. He's whispering to that. I'm sensing that in the room. And then I'm just like, this word of the Lord just dropped into my heart of encouraging people to realize that he is aware of what's going on and not to be discouraged. He sees you. So that's all happening as I'm sitting on the front row. The Lord's speaking that to me. So then I'm like, how do I communicate that to everybody? Now, in the midst of it, I just communicated that to you. But also, there's the emotion that comes out of that as I'm getting a little bit excited of realizing the Holy Spirit's whispering to me that God sees us, that he's aware of what's going on, that is encouraging to me. So that's building up my spirits inside. So I'm like, oh, this makes me happy now. So then I get emotion. Now, all of us know when you get emotion, sometimes that can make us do a little bit weird things because now we have all the emotion. And inevitably, if you've been around Pentecostalism long enough, you've heard the stories of somebody running and getting so excited that they're running up on the pews, and then they're running along the pews on the backs of them because they're just so excited. Is there anything spiritual about that? No. It's just emotion. But because of emotion, we can do some crazy things. Don't believe me? Drive somewhere in heavy traffic and watch your emotions and what that makes you do. Because if you drove down Frank Scott this week as we were doing paving operations, it backed traffic up. And one lady was a little irritated. She couldn't get home after work. And so as she drove by everybody, she shared her emotions with us in a very colorful, salty way. I laughed. But emotions, we do that. And so sometimes in the emotion, we can get a little bit crazy. We can do things that hurt people because we're just so emotional, we're not realizing how it's affecting people. And you've seen it before. It's just like you really want God to move and do something in somebody's life, so you're just so full of emotion that you're like, you run up to them and you just start praying with them and you're just like getting all excited because of the emotion. So you're praying with them really hard. Or then you're like, God, do something. And you're whacking them on the head or you're doing something because of emotion. You get all excited. Yes, I had coffee today, sorry. But the emotion causes new stuff. So sometimes abuses happen because of the emotion. Or sometimes we're very well-intentioned, but we're not thinking through how stuff's being received or communicated. So we do things like that, good-natured, but then we hurt people because we're not thinking through how it's being received, usually because of the emotion. So then we'd be a little bit weird. And instead of people seeing God at work, they just see somebody crazy doing something silly. Good intentions, but doing abuse to somebody, hurting them. And so if you've been around long enough, you've experienced some of those hurts. And you've seen why it's easy to get cynical. And so that's why we have to be careful that we're not weird. But we need to be wise in how we use our gifts. I must maintain control of what I do and say. Paul says this in 14:32 of 1 Corinthians. The spirit of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. When God's using us, he's not possessing us and making us where we're suddenly out of control. But God's whispering things to us. So then we're in control of how we're communicating those things. We're not suddenly robotic in a trance. But the Spirit of God is whispering something that he wants to communicate, so then we need to make sure that we're in control of how we're communicating it. We need to make sure when we're saying things to people, we're not violating Scripture. We need to make sure how we are treating people. Because the Holy Spirit wants to work and move and encourage to build up, to make people better, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to heal them, to bring them from upside down to right side up, to bring healing in their life, to bring hope to their minds, to work and move that way. So it's imperative to us as God's using us that we're working in such a way that it nurtures that to be able to happen. So what enablements did the Holy Spirit assign to me? Now, chapter 12, verse 7, 1 Corinthians, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Do you get that? God enables us so that we can help each other. Not God enables me so I have something special from God just for me, which is, that's a great side benefit. That God entrusts us with an ability. God entrusts us with a ministry. That's a great side benefit. But ultimately, it's so that we can help each other. His enablements, his gifts have a purpose for us to help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And I love that. To one person, to one person, to one person, to one person, so that it uses all of us. And I would even say that if we notice God's only working in one area in our midst, then maybe we should step back and just be like, okay, God, I see that you're working in a special way in that one area, but no one gift is more important than the other. They all have a purpose. They all have a time to be used. And so then just be like, okay, God, I see you working over there, but what about over here? God, will you trust me and use me in that area? And see what God will do. But I love that. One person, one person, one person. When God enables us, it's for ministry to others. This is not about a personal prayer language, but about helping others. Gifts are intended to be diverse. We need all the enablements of the Holy Spirit at work to best build us up as a church. So we have one enablement, the message of wisdom, or to give wise advice. Not any wisdom, but God-inspired wisdom. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. This is when someone who would have no way of knowing what to do or say about a situation, but God supernaturally gives the person insight and the ability to speak into it. This can happen in counsel, in conversation, or even decision-making. It can be a message of wisdom specifically from God for a specific purpose. You know what? There's even an individual in this church that I've seen how God uses him with that, because in just the right way, he's able to take a situation and cook it down into one sentence or one question that seems to answer it, seems to summarize it, seems to point everything in the right direction. And it's like I can walk away from that individual and be like, wow, that is more than just life experience. That is God giving that person's special wisdom or special insight into the situation and able to speak into it. There's the message of special knowledge. It's knowledge or understanding specifically from God for an individual. The word of knowledge is when God tells you something that you didn't already know. It could also be inspired teaching, receiving insight into the meaning of Scripture. It's like you're just getting just insight into things. Like things are just coming alive to you. There's this knowledge, this understanding that you can't comprehend how that happens, but you just know. You can walk into a situation and you read details that the other person's never shared or communicated, and you're able to then speak into those things. I've seen that happen, and it's crazy. I've had God speak things to me that I shouldn't even know about somebody, and then it makes for very interesting conversations when you lead the conversation and bring that up. But it sure gets their attention. How did you know that? I haven't told anybody that. There's another message, great faith, another enablement. This is not saving faith, but a greater faith in God regarding what God can and will do. It is that great faith also connected with great works, like faith to move a mountain. It's those with this gift trust and confide in God, which allows them to live boldly. If you ever get around somebody where God has just planted them with supernatural faith, it is so encouraging to be around them. Because they just have this trust in God that just goes beyond just the normal Christ follower. Because they just trust God in such big and significant ways. Or then there's the enablement of healing. It's praying for the sick and seeing them healed. And a lot of times this is used with the gift of faith in conjunction, because it's just like you're just praying for people and seeing God do something. I remember on a missions trip when I was 19 years old, and we're down in Mexico, and there's this woman that came in that was in her 80s, and she was blind, and her eyes were completely whited over. And she came in just kind of limping into the service, was sitting down, and at some point in the middle of his message, the guy that was speaking, just the Lord just pointed her out to him. He stopped what he was doing. He went over and prayed for her, and it's like she instantly could see. Some of us were standing there and could see it happen. You could actually watch the fogginess that was in her eyes just disappear. It was the neatest thing to watch and experience. But it's just that gift of healing. Or there's in the enablement of miraculous powers, big miracles that get people's attention, that leave them speechless, that draw them to Jesus and cause them to live differently out afterwards. It's a big miracle. God does something. You know, you're like out at a soccer game and you watch one of your grandchildren playing and they're running across the field and they fall and their leg breaks open and the bone sticks out or something and you just run up to them and you pray for them and all of a sudden he just snaps back in place and their leg is whole. It'd be something like that. It's just seeing God do something beyond the normal in a very significant way. Or there's the gift of the enablement of prophecy. It's spontaneous, spirit-inspired, intelligent, intelligible message intended to build up and encourage people. It's the ability to receive a God-inspired word that is passed to others in the body of Christ. These words do not constitute the authoritative word of God, but are interpretations of the word that was received. It's just like God just speaks into a situation. There was a little bit of that in operation with me this morning because I was just like, God's got a word to be encouraged for us. Now, it's imperative, though, that we trust. It's imperative that if someone has a word for you, that we're testing it. How does it align with the Bible? What does this say? Because if it's in conflict with what this says, immediately disregard what they're saying right there. Just, whoa, gone. Don't even file it away in your memory or anything else. Just let it go, let it be gone. But then it's like, if they do speak something to you and it lines up with the Word of God, then what we should do is we test it, is we take it and we just take that and we stick it back in the back of our mind as a memory. We don't allow it to be what controls us. We just continue to walk in obedience to God, but we keep that in the back of our minds as a memory. And then when it happens, if it does, then we're just like, thank you, God, for speaking to that, and we can use that to encourage us and build our faith and trust Him. And if it doesn't, we're just like, okay. Doesn't matter. But we don't allow it to manipulate us. We just allow it to encourage us. There's another enablement, the distinguishing between spirits. This would be discernment. The Holy Spirit will give discernment to show us if something is of God or if something is demonic. This gift is useful in helping us not be led astray by false teaching or getting involved with anything demonic. We see the difference. We can look at that. And sometimes I think this comes into play for most of us all the time, and we don't always realize it. But we walk in, we can flip on a TV show, we can be holding a conversation, we can be doing all that, and we can right there begin to point out what is of God and what's not really quickly. It just starts coming to us, especially if you have this gift at work in your life. You're immediately sorting it out. Then there's the enablement to speak in an unknown language and in public tongues, and speaking in an unlearned unknown language. This is where we get a lot of attention in our Holy Spirit. In our Pentecostal circles, it's praying in tongues is a faithful act of submission to God's authority in which we pray His perfect will through our prayers. A simple way of looking at it is that it's God praying through us what He wants to pray. It's to bless the church. It's to encourage His people. But it needs interpreting, because if somebody's speaking in an unknown, unlearned language, all we hear is an unknown, unlearned language. We don't hear what is trying to be communicated. We don't know, because all we hear is an unknown, unlearned language. It's like if you go somewhere where there's other languages being spoken, you don't know what they're saying to you. And when I first moved to El Paso, Texas, I had an individual come up to me that knew absolutely no English, and I knew 10 Spanish words. Thanks to Sesame Street. And as he comes up to me and he starts talking to me, he's having a full-on conversation with me. And I'm just like, No hablo inglés. You know, I'm doing all that. I don't know what you're... I'm trying to tell him, I don't know what you're saying. And at that point, he just kept talking. They turned and walked away. And I just walked in. I tell my wife what happened. And I go, I don't know if I just gave him my firstborn child or what's going on. Because he was asking me a bunch of stuff. I have no idea what he was asking me. And I'm just like, I don't know. I just don't know. And that's it. We need somebody to interpret it. So it's important if God's going to use this in one way that we know it can be interpreted by somebody else. Here's where, because God's using all this diversity in ministry, we have to have relationship with each other so that we know in the situation we're in if God can work and move, because that last enablement is the ability to interpret from God what was communicated. It's not a word-for-word translation, but an interpretation of the Spirit's message. The interpretation will always be edifying and loving. If there is no love, then it is not of God, because God is love. Everything he does is a sign or act of his love. It's to build each other up, to enable us. And then Paul, as he continues on that chapter, if you read it in your devotions, he goes on after he talks about those gifts to the importance of realizing that we're a body with many different parts that are all intended to work together in unity. Because God uses me too, not just the pastors. God uses me to minister to others. He uses each of us. I mean, in 1 Corinthians 12:27, he just writes, of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. And God wants to use each of us in ministry to one another. We're all in this together, so find your niche and fulfill your role today. Be like, God, how do you want to use me now? How do you want to use me right here, right now? And step into that niche and then go after all that God has for you and then give it away to everybody. God, enable me so I can give it away. God, use me to help others. Your niche is important. What you do matters. Don't give up, because the reward is worth it if you step out and you allow yourselves to be used by God. If you don't fill your role, if you don't fill your niche, at best, you're replaced. At worst, opportunities are missed. So it's important that we just get to the point where it's just like, God, use me however you want to use me, and I'll step up and do it. And then allow love to saturate all that you do. In chapter 13, Paul writes this, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, and if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. At the beginning of chapter 14, he writes, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. Let love be your highest goal. Or verse 12, and the same is true for you, since you are so eager to have the special abilities the Spirit gives, seek those that will strengthen the whole church. So I love people and I want to build people up. It's important that I operate in that way, that just becomes my just basis of how I do everything that I do for people, just love. How we help people is important. Allow love to saturate everything you do. If you're not sure what love looks like, it's very interesting that in this whole section of chapters of Paul writing, right very middle of it, in verses 4 through 7 of chapter 13, Paul's just like, this is what love looks like. And it's in the context, not of getting married, which we use those verses, love is patient, love is kind, love keeps no record of wrong and all that. We use that in the context of so many things, but it's right in the very middle of Paul talking about being used by the Holy Spirit, being used in your enablements, being used in ministry to others. He defines what love looks like, so there's no question whatsoever in our minds. We are identified as genuine Christ by how we treat each other. People are drawn to love. You ever notice that? People, Hallmark Channel would not exist without love. We wouldn't have the story of the girl that moves from the big city to the little farm town and starts a business and hires a local guy from the farm town, even though the guy from the big city comes to chase her down. They fall in love. We wouldn't have that story over and over and over again. And it's always Christmas time. People are drawn to love. Outsiders know how to love too. And they're going to avoid a place where they do not sense love. When it comes to operating in the enablements of the Holy Spirit, it's important to be motivated by love. My goal is to build up, to help. If something is being exposed, it's not to embarrass, but to lovingly correct, because we matter to God. We show love. And to land this plane, it's to realize God wants to use each of us. God wants to use you. So go for everything that God has for you so that you are most effective and capable of building up people, because we want to make Jesus' church the best it can be. A guy named Ty Buckingham wrote in his book, The Holy Spirit is Not a Bird, says this: the best thing you can do every day when you wake up is to let the Holy Spirit know that you are willing and able to be used by Him. This is all a part of a relationship with Him. He wants to baptize you in His Spirit, save you from your sins, and use you in His gifts. Remember, though, that these are gifts so that you should treat them as such. Be loving in everything you do, and God will continue to use you mightily. Just lovingly encourage, lovingly strengthen. But you know what? I give you all permission to allow the enablements of the Holy Spirit to be used by you to minister and to build up people. I give you permission to speak into people's lives, to use the wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives you. I give you permission to speak words of knowledge into people's lives. I give you permission to pray for people and see God do miraculous things. I give you permission to share encouraging words, maybe in an unknown, unlearned language. I give you permission to be used by the Holy Spirit to interpret what is communicated. I give you permission to process what is communicated to you through the Word of God and to keep that which is good and discard that which is bad. I give you permission to be used by God. Give you that permission. Why? So we're built up. So we become the very best church we can be. So we can be the best. Because if we're the best, then we're the most effective. And if we're the most effective, we make the biggest impact. And if we make the biggest impact, it's more people that we can just take to heaven. And when we show up at Jesus and we lay down and we just take those crowns off of our heads and we're just like, Jesus, here, I give it all back to you. Thank you for the rewards. I give this back to you. And then we can just stand up and we can turn and say, I brought them to you too. I helped them too. And then just get out of the way and let them just be face to face with their Savior. I don't know if that's how it's going to happen, it's just how I imagine it. But I give you permission to be used by God. I give you that permission. And I'm trusting you that you'll be obedient and not in conflict with the scriptures. because we'll test things to know. I give you permission, but I'm trusting that you're not going to do things out of selfish motive, but out of love. Because you want to build people up and you want to see them become their very best. So I give you that freedom to do that. Because we're the better for it. We're the better for it. I give you permission to find your niche. And right now we have a lot of niches that need to be filled. That won't always be the case, but right now it is. So I give you that permission. Find your place and minister now. And then pray for God to send workers to replace you so that you can mentor them and their energy and creativity can be used to enlarge ministries. But I give you permission to be used by God.